Welcome to Books, Broads, and Booze. This is your host, Jeannie.
And Monica. Hello, hello.
Hello, friends. How goes it?
Oh, it goes wonderful for us, huh? Nice, beautiful day today?
It is a beautiful day if you're really into sunshine and brightness and all that jazz. It is very bright. So this month we chose Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell.
It was an incredible book. I'm so glad I read it. I had heard it described as haunting, and I thought that was a very apt description. And I hope that our discussion does it justice.
Right. So this book was, I'm trying to read my notes that I wrote in my hand. Best book of 2020 for The Guardian, Financial Times, Literary Hub, and NPR.
Yeah, it was...
A lot of people loved it.
Yeah, it definitely reads like an award-winning book. And had we not had this podcast, I probably wouldn't have read it, and that would have been terrible. I'm glad I did.
Do you want to give a brief overview of the book?
Yes, it's about the family of William Shakespeare, told mostly by his wife's story. So he is not a main character in the story, but it just goes to show like what his life could have been like and some of the things that he could have had to deal with in his life. And the author tried to make everything historically known in the book.
Right.
So, I mean, of course it's a fiction, but also...
Well-researched fiction.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm always interested in, like, you know, the plague times and everything. It's always so fascinating to think about, you know, how people lived back then, so.
Correct.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the questions today. So, question one. This novel is clearly about the life of William Shakespeare, but he was never mentioned by name. Why do you think the author made this choice? What do you think is the significance of telling the story from Agnes's point of view when very little is known about the life of the real Agnes, a.k.a. Anne Hathaway?
First, I just want to quickly mention that we are getting these questions from mytbr.co. It is written by somebody whose name I can't really pronounce, but Trizab Price. So I'm just going to throw that out there and thank them for providing us with these questions. I think if the author made the choice of not to talk about William Shakespeare because it's really more engrossing about how people lived at the time. So his life was obviously very different from everybody else that was living in England in the 1500s. So I feel like it's more like a snapshot of what real life could have been like without him being heavily involved in the novel. And then I really feel like Agnes's point of view gives a good glimpse into how women's lives were during that time period, too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. If you were so focused on William Shakespeare, you might miss some of these little every day-to-day life things and how strong these people were back then, especially the women, how much work they had to do and how much they had to take care of. And I can't imagine
how their lives were controlled from one man to the next.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so for question two, we have, how much did you know about the real Shakespeare and his relationship with his wife before reading the book? If you did know anything, did it affect your expectations of the book?
I knew a little bit, not tons. Like, I've seen a couple of movies about him. I've read a little bit about him, but I didn't really know too much, except for that he had a not great relationship with his wife. That's all that I thought. So I was like, I wonder how this is going to go. And at first I was like, is this even really about them?
Well, I didn't know that going into the book. Like, I was just started reading the book and I was like, oh, wow, this is really good. And then I started just looking up some things online and I'm like, wait, this is about William Shakespeare? That's weird. I don't remember him being mentioned. So I sort of came into that realization a little later in my start of the book, I guess. Oh my goodness. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know. Their relationship felt to me in the book like not abusive or not terrible. It felt like a normal relationship that like people might have today. You know, husbands go away to work, wives go away to work.
Right.
You know, I just felt like she was maybe less involved in any decision-making processes in there. But although she did sort of manipulate that from the background, I guess, his decisions. Mm-hmm. So it did give her more of a sense of power, I think, than maybe a lot of other women had. I don't know.
It seemed like she had to rely on her brother to help guide what decisions she wanted made.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Patriarchy. Ugh.
How well matched did you think Agnes and her husband were? How did your impression of their marriage change or evolve over the course of the book?
I thought they were very well matched at the beginning. I really liked how he was kind of like a penniless unknown, and she was like, I see a lot of depth in you. I like you. I'm going to go ahead and choose you despite what my stepmother says, and this is how I'm going to control my own life. And I was like, you go, Agnes.
And she was a lot older than him, too. And I assume that's historically accurate.
I would guess so.
And she was older for being unmarried. And of course, she was a little odd. So she was definitely like the village witch. She had that.
All the witchy vibes.
Definitely. Yeah. So of course, I was like, I love her.
And I thought it was sweet how he tried to protect her from his family and how he wanted best for her. And she was like, I'm going to go off in the woods and have a baby on my own. And it was like, not again.
She definitely listened to her intuition. She looked for and received signs from the universe and she acted on them. And most of the time when she did that, things turned out well. And when she didn't do that, that's when things sort of went to shit. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
As far as their relationship goes. Yeah.
And I didn't know if that was intentional or not, but it was noticeable for me reading the book. I thought that was very cool. All right. Now we're on to question 5 already. Discuss the relationships that Agnes had with the various characters in the book. Why do you believe that she had so many fraught relationships? How does the family suffer from the reputation that Agnes has in town?
So she definitely has very strong witchy vibes. So people come to her for different things, but they also think that she's a little, crazy. And she's got a bad reputation, and William Shakespeare's family was in debt. He had stolen some stuff or whatever, was selling goods that he wasn't supposed to and had a bad reputation. And so when she marries him, they're like, oh, this isn't going to help things. This is only going to make things worse. Yay.
Right. And definitely there was a power struggle with all the other women in Agnes's life, like with her stepmother and with her mother-in-law. She definitely wasn't a woman. I would describe her as quiet, but not willing to like stand down when confronted, you know?
She definitely had strong opinions about how things should go, but she was sort of easygoing about a lot of things. So she was like, yeah, I don't really care about this. Yeah, if you want to be all like, oh, this is how it's going to be, go ahead, but I'm going to subvert you.
Yeah. Yeah. And she didn't seem to mind what other people thought of her either, which I thought was great.
It was great. She was a great character. I loved her so much, too. She was so great.
Yeah, she really was. Okay, next question. Do you think Agnes is a good mother? Discuss the various depictions of motherhood and the expectation placed on mothers during this time. Contrast this with the fathers of the novel and the expectations they seem to have of the roles and of their wives.
I thought she was a pretty good mom. I thought she did a decent job. She was, had her own property and had her own financial interests, and she was off taking care of those matters when things sort of escalated with the health of the kids. That's when the plague came to town. And she blamed herself for being away, and that's why, spoiler, somebody dies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I think everybody knows that beginning of the book, except for those who don't know anything about it, Monica.
Yeah, me. That would be me.
Right. And she felt really bad and felt like she was a terrible mom because of that. But I think she was doing everything that she could. Like, she was like, okay, I'm going to do all the things that I know how to do. And when those didn't work, she was like, okay, fine, I'll listen to the quack doctor. And I'm like, okay, this still isn't even going to work. And then I think she just felt like she was a big letdown as a mother from that.
Yeah.
Where the dad was sort of like, eh. He doesn't held accountable for any of that.
And the father-in-law was very abusive. So abusive to William Shakespeare, abusive to his son, not so much the girls, but to the fact where he warned his son away from him. Agnes seemed a little bit oblivious to that threat to Hamlet.
Yeah.
You know? She definitely, I felt she was a good mother. I think that mom guilt when the kids were sick with the plague is like how any mother would be with a sick child. I mean, you blame yourself. If only I had done this, if only I had done that. And I think when she was out at her farm, she was out there because, her brother called her because the bees were swarming.
Right.
You know, so there was lots of omens, I guess, that she was getting while she was out there that she didn't listen to. So to her, she's like, if only I had gone back, I didn't trust what I knew, that something was wrong kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like what you said about the quacky doctor, I thought that was great. You know, she's like mad, right? She's like, I've learned all of these, you know, herbal remedies to help people. I've spent my life helping people, and I can't even help my own kids.
Yeah,
you know?
She wanted to tear up all the plants and just burn them. She's like, why do we even have these dumbass plants?
Yeah.
Let's just get rid of them all.
Yeah, it was very touching and just, I mean, I was at the edge of my seat during this part of the book, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Agnes's affinity for the outdoors is an important aspect to her identity. Discuss how she is affected by being in nature and by being removed from nature. How does nature play a role in her life and mental health?
She is very much connected to nature and has specific spots that she goes to sort of reconnect and heal her mental health. And that's where she, you know, tries to go off to have these babies at.
and it's almost like because she couldn't have the twins outside because she was corralled, that's when everything was like not in alignment, so to speak.
Right, and she blamed that as to why the twin daughter was in poor health and had problems is because, you know, she was basically kidnapped to have these babies in a real birthing room.
Yeah.
With real medical doctors and assistants. And they did call a midwife, but
yeah,
she had their oldest daughter all by herself.
Out in the woods. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot even begin to imagine.
Me either. I was like, what is happening? Is she really doing this? Oh my goodness. I'm like, no.
Oh yeah. I was like, she is definitely way more brave than I am, for sure. Oh, did you know about Hamnet Shakespeare before reading this book, or Hamlet? We've learned that we should talk about that a little bit. The book, it looks like it's pronounced Hamnet because it's spelled with an N. It's pretty much supposedly interchangeable with Hamlet.
Yeah.
In the time, so I am assuming that they would have pronounced it the same.
I listened to the audiobook. I listened to the audiobook, and I also read part of the ebook. And they, in the audiobook, they do just call it Hamlet.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go with Hamlet, yeah. Even though when I read the book, it was Hamnet in my mind when I was reading it.
Yeah, in the beginning of the book, the foreword where she's talking about it, she says they were interchangeable.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not a philologist. I don't know how these things work. I barely do English grammar. So, did this exploration of his young life affect your perception of Shakespeare?
I didn't know anything about his children whatsoever before reading this book. And then afterwards, I was like, well, he was definitely loving of his kids. Like, he was deeply affected by the loss of a child. And he definitely loved his kids very much. So I was a little, affected by what I thought of him as a person. And the story of Hamlet, I think, means something else to me now.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar. Like, I haven't read Hamlet since high school, probably, so I can't intelligently, like, make any sorts of connections there at this point in time in my life. But I will say that I read a snippet that the author often contemplated why there was nothing about the plague, the Black Plague, Shakespeare's plays. And so she thought, oh, she knew his son had died, but didn't know why. And so she did this sort of speculation, which became this book. And I was like, whoa.
Right. Yeah, which is really profound because, you know, we just went through a pandemic, and that would be like somebody writing a story that took place in 2020, but not mentioning COVID at all.
Right.
That's crazy. So it is, it's like mind-blowing, especially since this is an experience that we all just went through.
Right. And this would have affected people probably, I'm guessing, with a lot more fear, even than it did us, even though we went through quite a bit of fear, you know, with the COVID pandemic. But this was very outwardly, like, terrifying.
There's no treatments. There's nobody doing research. There's nobody giving you information about what was happening. Like, they didn't even have a cause for it. So I could see how it would just be extremely terrifying.
Yeah. All right. So question 9, what sort of parallels can you draw between the pestilence that strikes Agnes's family and the present day pandemic? We sort of dove into that a little bit. So that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Anything else like pop into your mind about that? Just that, you know, I don't know if I didn't suffer any losses because of the pandemic. So I can't imagine what Agnes went through, but I'm sure there are many people who have.
Yeah. I would say that it could be very parallel for a lot of families who mm-hmm. did lose somebody, especially if they were a younger person. It's like, 'cause it seemed that COVID affected more very young people or very old people.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see how that would
draw
a lot of parallels for people.
This book is largely about the deep emotion of grief. What did you think of O'Farrell's description of the family's grief?
I thought it was quite beautiful. It was very touching and emotional. It was very realistic. I'm getting upset just thinking about it. I felt tangible.
Yeah, you could definitely relate to every member of the family. It was especially heartbreaking when Hamlet's twin was like, you know, they have a word, like, you're an orphan if your parents die and you're a widow if your husband or wife dies, but they don't have a word for what I am, what do they call you if your twin dies, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's just, I got goosebumps just like thinking about that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
It was very well written and
yeah.
deep. deeply touching.
And especially with Hamlet, he was such a, like, a brave boy, and it you know, who, and this adds to kind of the witchiness of the family and of the situation, but he was like, I'm offering myself to death in my sister's place, you know? So there was that element of sacrifice, like how we would sacrifice anything for the people that we love. It was just very beautifully done, I thought.
And it was so sad that she didn't get a choice of it. She was just like, you didn't give me a choice. Why did you decide this?
Yeah, I know. Ugh. So the next question is, why do you think Agnes encouraged her husband to leave after Hamlet's death and go to London? Do you think she made the right choice?
He was devastated, and his mental health was in a very bad place. So she encouraged him to leave because she thought that's what he needed to help with his mental health. And it did. He did get better. He made some very poor choices while he was away. I don't think that she necessarily made a bad choice about it. I don't think the situation would have gone well no matter what they had done.
I mean, that's a very valid point. I thought it was really interesting that she described his energy when he came down the stairs as like having a reek, and like he just looked like a different color. Like, she associated all these images of sickness with her husband. He was trapped at home. He was trapped in grief. And what she fell in love with him for was like slipping away from him, you know? So there is this element of sacrifice from her as well. She wanted him to be better. Like, she loved him enough to let him go, kind of. Mm-hmm. Even though it was, you know, at her detriment, I guess you could say. So I thought that was really awesome of her. And William Shakespeare is not as much of a tangible character in this book, it kind of makes him feel like a little bit of a doof, you know? like he just has no idea what's going on.
He doesn't realize that she's making decisions for him.
Right.
Yeah. He's just sort of like, he thinks he's in control, and she's like, no, not really, babe. I'm doing everything.
Yeah. And so he does have that little bit of like, he's a little naive, I think, through most of the book.
Yeah, she definitely has more insights as to what's going on.
Oh, we're getting to the end of the book and the questions. This part was heartbreaking. What did you think of Agnes's experience watching Hamlet on stage at the end? Do you think Agnes would be content with the idea that her son's name will become the most remembered name in literary history? Do you think that her husband's play healed them?
I thought it was absolutely heartbreaking, her watching the play. It was very sad, because she if he had like let her know, I think it would have been a different experience for her. But she was sort of outraged and upset, like, how dare you do this? And I think that maybe she would be content with his name living on in infamy. You know, like, everybody knows that name, but they don't know that it belongs to their son. Mm-hmm. So I think that might not be okay with her.
I think towards the end of the play, like, you're right, she was so outraged. She was like, I'm leaving. And then she's like, I can't stop watching. You know, and she sees these little mannerisms of this actor on the stage that her husband, you know,
is directing.
Yes. So she sees in this also how this is how he is relieving his pain and his grief, you know. So I think that with her understanding him and what he's been doing a little bit more, it doesn't really say. But I felt like it could be very healing for them from this point forward, but you never really find out.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it did heal them, because I think she was sort of like, you went away, you've been gone for so long, it's like you didn't even know what was going on. And then she goes and she sees that, no, he's been carrying their son with him too.
Yeah.
And then he's got this massive, huge play all around, built around him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely emotional. So I've got just a couple more questions left. What were your favorite parts of the novel? What were your least favorite parts? And which lines stood out to you?
I loved almost everything. There was some back and forth in the novel where I was getting confused, just because they were switching like timelines, because everything happens in the past, but some things happen more in the past than like.
I agree. That was a little hard at first. Yeah, for sure. Did you have anything in particular that made you like, oh no, I hate this part?
There was nothing that made me like hate it per se. I think what stands out to me the most was when she was furious at nature not holding up its bargain with her plant medicine. And she just wanted to literally rip them out of the ground and burn them. That's what stood out to me the most. I was like, that's real grief and anger there.
I had one favorite part where, she's in the house and this little squirrel from outside like comes in and it's like running around on her shoulders and her mother-in-law is just like, oh, screaming. Dear Lord, you know? Yeah. And then the doctor, the plague doctor comes and knocks on the door and she's like, get out of here. And he wants her to put this like dead frog on the daughter's stomach because it draws out the plague or whatever. And she's like, take your quackery and get out of my house, you know? And the mother-in-law's like trying to give him some coins. And I mean, that whole scene was like just hilarious to me. I mean,
yeah, she's like, ah,
I know. I really liked that part. And I can't, we read it quite a while ago, so I can't remember any quotes or anything at this point in time.
I should have written some down. I didn't.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy.
Yeah. So the last question is, would you read another novel by Maggie O'Farrell, and why or why not?
I think she's a fantastic writer. She does great descriptions. Her characters are very believable, at least in this novel. After I got used to like the whole time hopping thing, mm-hmm. I thought it, you know, went pretty smoothly once mm-hmm. I figured out what's happening. Because I was like, who are all these people? What is happening? I'm like, okay, I've established all the characters now. I got an idea what's going on.
I agree. I liked her as well. I think I would read another of her books if it were not a sad book. Because I don't like to read to be sad. I like to read to think of happy and exciting things, not sad things. So although I feel like it bettered me as a person, I felt like it was a great book. I'm like, I don't want to put myself through that again.
It was a bit of a emotional read.
Yeah. It really was.
Like I have a hangover from this book.
Yeah. Definitely.
I need some book candy. Book candy me.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I have been reading some major book candy after that. But oh, well, we don't even really have a drink to talk about today because we've been busy. We're recording a little earlier than normal. So did you have any parting thoughts?
I highly recommend the book. I think it's fantastic. Like, it's not going to be a super easy read, and it's pretty long.
Yeah.
But I do recommend it.
I do as well.
Well, thank you everyone for listening.
Bye.
Bye.